Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, December the 8th, 2011, and I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. We call it The Voice, and our simulcast partners, KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We also have live streaming of the show. You can stream us at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of our previous programs on our website, also live streaming, kvoi.com. Also, we have three venues for your 24/7 anytime listening of the program: buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to one. We launch this edition of the Buckmaster Show with a newsmaker interview with State Representative Ted Vogt. He will be talking about a plan that he has, legislation that he plans to introduce in the 2012 session of the legislature to cut down on frivolous lawsuits in Arizona. 20 minutes past the hour, Janet Marcotte of the YWCA joins us to talk about her new photo book, spotlighting those spontaneous memorials that popped up after the January 8th Tucson shootings. 30 minutes past the hour, General John Wickham, the former chief of staff of the U.S. Army and American and U.N. forces in Korea, will join us. Lots to talk about with General Wickham. As always, it will be a wide-ranging discussion on military and foreign affairs. We always encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can join in our interviews by calling the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Now we begin with Representative Ted Vogt. He represents District 30. He is a Republican. He is seeking to curb frivolous lawsuits. Representative Vogt is an attorney himself, and he joins us now on the Buckmaster Show. And, of course, it's good to see you again.
Good to see you. Merry Christmas. Thank you very
Merry
much for
Merry Christmas
me.
To you as well. And, you know, I mentioned you are an attorney as well, so this effort to curb lawsuits is probably not going to win you any awards or a big Christmas gift, I guess, from the legal community, is it?
I am truly working against my own best interest. How about that? You know,
yeah.
Economically.
I mean, what are you attempting to do with the legislation that you? This would be kind of a reprise of the legislation that you introduced in the session, the 2011 session.
Correct. And just kind of as a recap, what I introduced last year was loser pays, a strict loser pays, which means that if you bring a lawsuit and you lose, you would be on the hook not only for your own attorney's fees and costs, but those of the prevailing party. It's also known as the English rule. That's pretty much throughout England and the Commonwealth. It's actually the majority rule throughout the world. And we've got a portion of that or a version of that already on the statutes here in Arizona in any case that arises out of contract. So I decided to try to expand that to all tort cases. It met with some resistance. And so I made a promise towards the end of last session that what I would do is I would hold the bill and not push it forward and engage in some discussions over the summer with different stakeholders.
And here's what the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association president, Janice Goldstein, says: just because you lose a lawsuit doesn't mean it was a frivolous case. You need to be careful you don't have a chilling impact on people who have been harmed, feeling that they cannot bring a case against a large corporation.
And I 100% agree with those sentiments. And that's why in the legislation that I advanced last session, I left the discretion to the judge. So he basically had – he or she had a two-step decision to make. One, was this lawsuit frivolous, or you know, should attorney's fees be awarded? If so, then how much? Because what you don't want to do is if you are John Q. Public, taking on a large corporation that has an army of lawyers that get, you know, bill out at $450 an hour, that can become a steep impediment. By letting the judge who's sitting right there and knows the economic situations of both people there, they can make that decision.
Well, what is the reaction among the legal community here locally? And I will point out, you graduated from the University of Arizona Law School in 2010. Congratulations
Thank
to you,
you,
Representative, for your winning your first case that you took to a jury last week here recently in Tucson. So what reaction are you getting from your colleagues?
Well, you know, it was really interesting. Whether it was a legal community down here in Phoenix, it was really mixed. So people that I thought would be opposed to it actually liked it, and the people who I thought would like it were actually kind of against it. So based off that input and the discussions that I had over the summer, I decided to kind of take a different tact. And that is – and what I plan to introduce this session, I'm going to not introduce the strict loser pays, but I'm going to introduce a bill to change Arizona from what we are right now, which is a comparative fault, a strict comparative fault state, to a modified comparative fault state. It's also kind of known as the 51% rule, which is if a jury finds that you, the plaintiff, are 51% or greater at fault, then they can use that as a strict bar to your recovery. 33 other states have that. So it's actually the majority rule in the United States. We just don't have it here in Arizona.
Suppose someone trips on like a broken sidewalk and they incur $10,000 in damage, but the jury determines the person is 20% fault for not paying attention. The property owner then would be liable for only $8,000.
Under the current system here in Arizona,
that's
yes.
That's the current way.
The current way right now. Okay. We've got it. So let's take the worst case scenario, and I doubt this ever happens, or if it does happen, and it's very rare. A jury could find you in Arizona 99% at fault for what happened. They could find the other party just 1% at fault, but you would still be able to collect on that 1%. Under the rule that I'm advocating and that the majority of states have already adopted is in a situation like that, the jury would be free to say, we're sorry, your negligence is a majority reason for this accident. You can't recover anything from the other party. Now, you know, I've heard a lot of arguments regarding those very close cases. What happens if you do have one where the plaintiff is 51% at fault and the other side is, you know, 49% at fault? It's very close. The legislation that I'm bringing forward is permissive. It says the jury may use it as a bar. They are not required to. And so, you know, I do trust juries, and, you know, now that I've been before one, I trust them. They're weighing the facts, and this is actually just another tool in their ability to mete out justice, and that if they find these cases where, you know, but for the plaintiff's own negligence, this wouldn't happen, even though, yes, they did incur some other damages because of some related negligence, you know what? We decide that you're not allowed to recover because you are a majority at fault.
Have you already drafted this legislation?
Yes, I've been working on it with the legislative council up there. And again, it's actually pretty easy to draft because, as I said, 33 other states have this legislation on the books.
What do you look for the big issues here in the remaining 5 minutes? I want to cover some of the issues that you see will be important for the 2012 session, which is now basically a month away. It's hard to believe.
I don't know where this year went.
I don't know.
You know, I will tell you, it really is going to be holding the line on spending. We are – Arizona, it's really been amazing. We were probably – one of the hardest, if not the most hardest hit states in this economic downturn. We are now one of the handful of states that is in the black for the next year. And there was a presentation up at ASU, the W.P. Carey School of Business. Arizona is now seventh in the nation for job creation, which is an amazing turnaround. So we're beginning to kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel, but that doesn't mean – we can go out and spend this surplus because in 2014, the 1 cent sales tax goes away. It brings in about $800 million a year. We need to figure out how that revenue is going to be made up. And if Obamacare goes into effect, that's going to put some additional requirements on the state. So we're going to have to find about, in 2014, $1.2 billion additional dollars. And I'm pleased to see what we've done so far. I believe that our economy is recovering, but now is not the time to be spending the surplus that we have, because if the economy hasn't come back sufficiently to where we're making up that money, we need to use those dollars to give us a softer landing to protect things like education and health care.
District 30 Republican Representative Ted Vogt is with us. He's in District 30 right now, but where he will be where he will be in a few weeks when we're told now that it looks like we'll be getting some of these maps for the legislative districts before Christmas, the Christmas present that you've been waiting for.
That is nothing, because then it's got to go to Justice, and they've
oh my goodness, and we're already behind schedule on that.
Absolutely.
So you talk about an education factor for the public. They are going to be The voters, I believe, will be so confused about, I thought he was in my district. Where are you going to wind up?
Well, that's the big question. Right now, if the draft map stays the same, I live in the new District 10, which is it's a strange district. It's, the east side of Tucson, but then it goes all the way out and picks up the central part of Tucson and some of South Tucson. You just kind of look at it and, one of the prime things that we're supposed to be looking at, or the committee's supposed to be looking at, is communities of interest. And you look at that one, you're like, I'm not certain what's going on here.
What's the best way then to deal with this redistricting? Do you think it should be sent back to the legislature to make the lines?
I do, because what I think, that philosophically, I want more voices at the table. And, what we've got in our legislature are people from all sorts of different backgrounds. We've got rural legislators. You've got people like me who represents a half and half district. I've got half city, half rural. So I want all those voices at the table to talk about what the constituents need. Now, look, I don't necessarily have to represent all the people I do right now, but I want those communities to be taken care of, whoever represents them in the future. And I just think that right now we've got a limited number of people there, two Republicans, two Democrats, and an independent person. That doesn't even represent Arizona's voting registration, where we're pretty much one-third Republican, one-third independent, one-third Democrat. Independents are only getting one voice on that committee. So I would like to see it go back to the legislature, but barring that, I think we can undertake some common sense reforms to make sure that more and different voices have a seat at the table.
Ted Vogt has been with us. He represents District 30, at least he represents.
For now.
For now, that area. Who knows what District 30 will be like. Anyway, we're going to take a break here on the Buckmaster Show, and we'll be back with you talking with Janet Mark out of the YWCA. Stay with us. Thank you, Ted.
Thank you, Bill.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson. just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Biro Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Biro Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Biro Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at viroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Twelve twenty-one on the Buckmaster Show. It is the Thursday edition, the 8th of December. The spontaneous community tributes that appeared in front of University Medical Center that were so moving to all of us here in the Tucson community and that really touch people not only around the United States but around the world in the dark days following the January 8th Tucson shooting tragedy. Now some of those tributes have been commemorated in a 50-page photo book titled Together We Thrive. The photos were taken by Janet Marcotte, the executive director of the YWCA in Tucson. And one of the groups that will be benefiting will be the Y. Janet joins us now on the Buckmaster Show. Janet, good to see you.
I'm so pleased to see you, and I love your new radio show.
Well, thank you very much. The response has been wonderful. I knock on wood. If there's any wood here in the studio, I will do it. But we've been very fortunate. It's been a great year for the Buckmaster Show and our first year launch. How did this book come about? And first of all, congratulations. You're a terrific photographer.
Thank you very much.
It's an area of expertise I didn't know that you had been so involved in, but I guess you've been shooting for a while.
Yes, actually, since I was a little girl, I loved photography, but got serious about it maybe about 15 years ago, but thought I'd be the last black and white film photographer in the world, but switched to digital and to color.
You're speaking to a guy who still uses film with my Leica.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, yeah. So this book came about how then?
Well, I was initially just thought as I looked at the memorials and visited them, I knew that Gabby would never be able to see this outpouring of love that we were all experiencing. So I thought I'd just create a collection of photographs for her and just do a book that she could have at some point. And then it just evolved when I decided to add the words of the president when he was here on January 12th in Tucson and showed it to a few people. Ron Barber and I looked at it together, and I created a prototype that has been turned into a beautifully designed book thanks to Terry Rich, who is a wonderful graphic designer in town.
The benefit of the book?
The book will benefit, it'll be used both by the YWCA and the Fund for Civility, Respect, and Understanding to support anti-bullying programs in our schools, mental health awareness programs, and respectful civic engagement efforts.
And there is a quote from the president's speech, and I'm just going to I know this is a favorite of yours on page, I think it's page 36, about the potted plants that turned
yes,
up.
That particular image and seeing those pots was really the moment I decided that I needed to do something to be sure that Gabby saw all of these beautiful things.
And the potted plants were a tribute to each of the victims?
Yes, there was in the lawn in front of UMC, there were six clay pots, one for each of those who were killed that day. And they were planted and filled with yellow pansies. And I stood there thinking how much effort it took to to buy the plants, to design, put beautiful design on them, to fill them with pansies, and to bring them to the lawn in front of UMC, and it began to hit me how much effort people were really putting into these wonderful tributes.
And the quote that accompanies that photograph: "Let's use this occasion to expand our moral imaginations, to listen to each other more carefully, to sharpen our instincts and our empathy, and remind ourselves of all the ways our hopes and dreams are bound together."
Yes, it's beautiful.
This tribute is really, it's very personal for you, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Gabby is a very good friend of
yours. She's a friend, and Gabe Zimmerman was a close friend and on our board of directors at the YWCA. So we miss him every day.
As we come up now on the one-year anniversary of those tragic shootings, what are some of the questions or remarks that you think we should be asking as a community together?
Well, I think one of the things when I think back to January 8th, that I know all of our hearts were broken, but they also seem to be open in ways we couldn't have imagined before. And I think it's important to hang on to that, to keep our hearts open to each other, to efforts in the community that can move us forward to make us an even better community.
And I think Ron Barber is doing a great job with
wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And we had him, as you know, on the program. I spent a half hour with him the day before Thanksgiving. As I thought about who I was going to book for that kind of Thanksgiving Eve show, I thought, you know, I want somebody who really has so much
yes.
to be thankful for this Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. and Ron Barber certainly came to mind.
Yes.
He decided that he needed to do something, and this
yes.
group that has this organization he's formed has really thrived, hasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, I was pleased to be asked to be on that advisory committee for that board and now serve on the executive committee. And because, of course, he has zeroed in on so many of the issues that we care about and work on at the YWCA. So it has been a wonderful partnership. And, of course, Ron and I have been friends since, 1976. So it's been a pleasure to work with him on this. But I think we can credit Ron and his family their decision early on that Tucson would not be remembered for just this tragedy, but how we responded as a community has been a key part of our recovery.
Do you think we need some kind of a permanent memorial to this? Which way are you leaning?
I'm leaning. Actually, I participate on that committee. I trust that together we'll come up with the right solution. Where I am personally is that I'd like to see something very simple, very natural, a very relatively small contemplative place with some kind of a design element there that could be taken by in tiles or some sort of a memento and spread to other locations throughout our community and the whole country.
I think that makes sense. Where can people obtain a copy of Together We Thrive?
Well, It's available at nearly 40 retail partners of ours throughout Tucson and actually in Phoenix, Sierra Vista, Safford, Sahuarita, and Green Valley. A list of the retail partners are on the YWCA's website, ywcatucson.org, and you can also order it from us online and from the YWCA online at the same website and pick it up at the YWCA as well as at 525 North Bonita Avenue.
And, of course, fundforcivility.org also can direct you, correct?
Yes, if you go to that site, it will take you right to the order form for the book.
All right, and congratulations. This is really a great project, and I think it's a healing
yes,
effort, isn't it?
It is. I know part of my effort to find some brightness and some optimism during those difficult days came from taking these photographs. And a friend of mine who'd had a particularly difficult time told me it really brought her a lot of healing. So that was part of the impetus for going forward to publish the book and make it widely available.
Jana, congratulations.
Thank you.
Together We Thrive. That book is fantastic. 12:30 now on the Buckmaster Show, and we will be up next with General John Wickham talking about military and foreign affairs. Lots to talk about with the general. Stay with us.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Virginia Tech officials say a police officer and another person have been shot and killed on the school's campus. The suspect remains at large. John Corzine tells a House panel he doesn't know what happened to the client money that disappeared when MF Global failed. He's testifying today to a House panel about the collapse of the investment firm that he led for about 20 months. President Obama says he'll delay his Hawaiian vacation and stay in Washington as long as it takes to win an extension of the payroll tax cut and jobless benefits for the long-term unemployed. On Wall Street, stocks are in negative territory. The Dow down about 147 points. The NASDAQ is off 38 points. The S&P 500 index 21 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
It's 12:33 on the Buckmaster Show, and the home of the Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Of course, you're always welcome, anyone listening to this program, to call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040, 790-2040, and join in the conversation. Well, there is a growing gap between those who serve in the military and the public. Time magazine recently had a major cover story on this and concluded that the matter is growing worse every year. Less than one half of 1% of Americans serve in uniform right now. And now we have the lowest number of members of Congress who are veterans. Why is this a problem? Well, we will explore that question with General John Wickham, the Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs. General Wickham is the former U.S. Army Chief of Staff and commander of all American and U.S. forces, UN forces in Korea. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in the Army. He's retired in Oro Valley and joins us at least once a month on the Buckmaster Show live line. General Wickham, how are you today?
Thank you, Bill. I'm honored to be on your wonderful program, and I agree with you that this gap is serious. It was less serious when we had the draft. Obviously, we were producing more veterans and more people going right back into civil society, but the likelihood of the draft coming back is very remote. As you know, the draft only passed by one vote in 1940, and with 40% of our American electorate under the age of 25, they're not going to vote for the draft. So the idea of the draft as a solution to more veterans and more people understanding what it is to serve is not the answer. And as you may recall, Senator Sam Nunn, years ago proposed universal service. Everybody would spend a year or two in the service. That idea went nowhere. And many of the developing countries, including Russia, Germany, and South Korea, and Britain, of course, and France, have all given up the draft and have gone to a professional army. And one of the downsides of a professional army, quite aside from the capability that it produces, is the very few number of veterans, and therefore, as you pointed out with your data, that there are very few people that have served and very few people that understand what it means to serve. And so with the wars that we've had in Iraq and Afghanistan, these veterans coming home, they go back into their communities and want to talk about what they did over there. Well, people are not very interested, and that turns them off, and that leads to a lot of disenchantment. And so these young people are saying, gee whiz, I'm not sure I want to reenlist again. And they don't encourage their brethren to enlist also. So it does have some serious implications. And you pointed out, we have the lowest number of Congress and in our state legislatures that have ever served in uniform. And therefore, they don't understand the sacrifices that are made. And they're quite willing and quite able, as our Senator McCain is trying to do, among others, to alter the retirement program for our veterans and people in uniform, which turns them off. As George Washington very wisely said back hundreds of years ago, if the veterans perceive that they're badly treated, they will encourage others not to enlist in the American armies. And I fear that's going to be a serious problem in the future.
Well, families really need to encourage, I guess, their more children to serve in uniform, even if only for a couple of years. There is this misunderstanding, I think, too, of people who do serve. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely, Bill, and you're exactly right. Families need to encourage folks to serve, even if it's only a couple of years. The GI Bill that we have now is a remarkable bill. It's almost as good, well, in some ways it's better than the World War II GI Bill. It's almost $60,000 towards college education. And what is different now than in World War II, this GI Bill can be transferred to your children and or your spouse if you don't use it. So it's a wonderful benefit. So, yeah, we ought to encourage more young people to get into the service and maybe one or two or three or four years, and then they can go out and go back into college.
And there are enlistment bonuses, too, that make that attractive.
Oh, yes, exactly right. And so it's a wonderful thing, and it doesn't mean you're going to send your children off to war. I think we're much wiser now about the war thing. I think there's much more being written now about the fact that we went into these Gulf Wars, Afghan and Iraq, on the credit card, the first time in American history, and almost half, believe it, Bill, almost half of the federal deficit of $14 trillion is caused by the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. If we had done it smarter, we wouldn't have this huge deficit hanging over our head that our children and grandchildren are going to have to pay for.
Well, you know, more veterans probably need to run for public office, and that would certainly help bring more attention to veterans' issues.
Oh, that's exactly right, Bill, and I think more are beginning to do that, but the public, of course, is going to have to think further about it. For example, a wonderful veteran is Mark Kelly, Gabby Gifford's husband, although he's busy taking care of Gabby, but people like that would make remarkable leaders in our legislatures.
Before we segue to what's going on overseas, why don't we stay with the veterans' issues? There is evidence that's growing that these injuries from Iraq and Afghanistan are actually beyond the capacity of some of the VA medical facilities to handle.
They are, Bill. You're exactly right. They're very current on the issues here. The cost of the veterans' care now exceeds the cost of caring for veterans from Vietnam. And it's estimated now that the cost of caring for the Iraq and Afghanistan veterans is going to exceed, believe it or not, $1 trillion. And we have not set that money aside for future Congresses. There's sort of a lot of rhetoric, take care of veterans, I'm all for veterans. But they aren't putting their money where their mouth is and taking care of them to be sure we do right by them. The delays in getting veterans benefits are back to months, maybe years, and the frustration is growing. We've got to do a much better job than we have been.
And the Wall Street Journal has a story today about veterans who have become so frustrated with trying to find a job, and they've decided that they're starting small businesses and they're getting some help from the government.
That's true. There is help. Veterans are given some special dispensations on loans for houses and on jobs, for example, and you point that out. But you're right, it is difficult. The unemployment rate for veterans, particularly the younger ones, Afghanistan, Iraq, are twice the unemployment rate for other people. Part of that is caused by the fact that these people going into the wars were high school graduates and had no real training to begin with. So when they come out, the kinds of things they learn in the service are not necessarily transferable into civil life. So we've got to do a better job. That's back to the GI Bill. We've got to get the GI Bill broadened, as it was in World War II, to allow for people to go into trade schools. The unions are clamoring for this trade school GI Bill, and the head of the VA, Rick Shinseki, has been pushing for it. But here again, the Congress, sitting on its hands, has not yet done anything to do something like that.
It's 12:42 on the Buckmaster Show. We're speaking with General John Wickham, former Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army. When you came back from Vietnam, I know that you had a very difficult time as a veteran of Vietnam. People actually spit on you. Isn't that true?
That's right, Bill. I was almost killed over there, given the last rites from the wounds. And when I got out of Walter Reed, was in Grand Central Station with my father and a well-dressed middle-aged woman, came up to me. I was in uniform, obviously a veteran, a soldier, and a woman came up to me within a few inches of my face and spit in my face, called me the foulest names that you can imagine. And as a result, a lot of the Vietnam veterans refused to wear uniforms. I've heard this story from many others, and I think we're trying to overcome that now with the things that we're doing for veterans today.
Well, we thank you very much. My producer, Rosemary Brandt, and I are very, very thankful for people like you, General Wickham, and we're going to ask you to stay with us through the break, and then we're going to talk about some hotbed issues going on, Pakistan and a few others. So stay with us.
Brian Bill, thank you.
All right, General John Wickham on the Buckmaster Show. We will continue. Stay with us.
I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock, for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people, and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Coming up on 12:48 on the Buckmaster Show, at least once a month, we bring in the contributor on military and foreign affairs for this program, General John Wickham, former U.S. Army Chief of Staff and Commander of All American and U.N. Forces in Korea. General Wickham, there are no shortage of the usual hot spots as I kind of look ahead here to 2012. Looks like it's the same suspects, Pakistan, Iran, and North Korea.
They're all hot spots. You're exactly right, Bill. And no easy solutions to them. the North Korean problem, excuse the voice here, the North Korean problem is growing more serious because there's evidence now that they are building a intercontinental delivery means so that they could threaten the United States with a weapon. I don't think they will do that in the near term, but it's a capability that they could develop, and I don't see any solutions available to us to get the North Koreans to give up their nuclear weapons. The North Koreans, according to evidence now that's in the media today, is moving closer to China, and China may have some influence over them, but I've been to China 8 times, and the Chinese leadership says we can't tell the North Koreans anything, so we can't have much influence over them, even though they are an ally. The Iranian problem is equally serious because there's no clear evidence that probably within maybe 6 months, the Iranians will have the capability to build a nuclear weapon. Would they use it? No, I don't think so, but they can threaten its use. And all the more reason that the Israelis are making more and more noises that maybe they have to strike Iran to get rid of that capability. But the reality is they can't get rid of it. They're only going to delay it a few years. And I just read something recently here in the last day or so that the Saudis are beginning to think that they may need to develop nuclear capabilities because they sit between Israel and an Iran that will have one. So a powder keg under situation, and we don't have much leverage at all. We've got to try to talk to the Iranians at various levels, but they will not respond to us, and so it's very difficult to deal with them, just as difficult with the North Koreans. And the Pakistanis, as you point out, is really a very serious problem. A nation of 180 million people, they've got probably 150 to 200 nuclear weapons. They're well guarded, no doubt about that. I don't think there's any fear of loss of the weapons. But Pakistan is a very worrisome state in terms of its willingness to work with us on the problems in Afghanistan. They see Afghanistan differently than we do. I don't think that the Pakistanis would like to see Afghanistan stable, because to the extent that Afghanistan becomes stable, it may lean more towards India, and Pakistan is paranoid about India. And so the Pakistanis are encouraging, although they say they don't, but evidence is clearly that they are doing it, encouraging working with the Taliban and other insurgent groups in Afghanistan, in contrast to what we're trying to do. Very difficult situation, and you read recently about the killing of 24 Pakistani soldiers by mistake. They don't think it was a mistake, but there was some evidence of error, but that sort of set us back seriously in terms of working with the Pakistanis. I've been over there years ago. A very difficult scene, the rigorous countryside, everybody's armed, and so it's very difficult to work with. And we don't have any kind of leadership the way we had with Richard Holbrooke, who was the State Department representative to try to pull all these things together. Hard-nosed, tough guy, knew him very well. And unfortunately, the administration has not replaced Dick Holbrooke after he died. We really need somebody like that. A good man might be Mike Mullen, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who is tough and has had a lot of experience and been over that area many times.
General Wickham is with us. If you'd like to join the conversation, 790-2040. It's interesting that the sphere of influence of the U.S. military is expanding in some ways. Marines going to Australia.
Well, that's right, Bill. There's evidence of emphasis now, renewed emphasis on our Pacific connections for a variety of reasons. One reason is to demonstrate some capabilities to thwart Chinese movement. China is a rising influence in Asia. some of these nations, Indonesia, Vietnam, and Australia, and New Zealand, concerned about that. And so the more that the United States demonstrates a willingness to be involved, they feel relieved. We've always had a good relationship with the Aussies and with the New Zealanders, so this is nothing new. It's not, our actions are not sort of, in a way, an attack on China, but it's a recognition of the growing importance of Asia, economic influence, the growing trade with India and with China.
General John Wickham is with us, and General Wickham, as you know, of course, we had a heavy emphasis on our program yesterday on the 70th anniversary of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. You were West Point class of 50, I believe, and how much were you influenced by World War II and your decision to make a career of the military?
Oh, I think 100%, Bill. My father was World War I and World War II. So he was with the OSS, the forerunner of the CIA, and he was in Europe doing various things. My family broke up when I was 11 years old, so I didn't have much family life, and I kind of lived with a guardian during the beginning of World War II. And so West Point was a tremendous opportunity for me. I used to pray, I used to say the Lord's Prayer 20 times at night, innocent thinking, the more times I said the Lord's Prayer, the more the chance of my message would get through to the good Lord to send me to West Point. Well, it happened, and it changed my life forever. And yeah, I think it did influence it. And as the Pearl Harbor remembrance is for many Americans, that we are a vulnerable nation, and things like this can happen again. There's some evidence in reporting in media now that Iranian activity with nuclear weapons and with North Korea, it's not inconceivable that some rogue activity could attack the United States again. We've got to remain strong and remain prepared.
Yeah, it's interesting because there was an op-ed piece in yesterday's Wall Street Journal by the author of he did the biography on Curtis LeMay, and he was pointing out that some of the conditions that that were existing on December the 7th really parallel what's going on today when you talk about cutbacks we're looking at in defense and in the military.
He's right. That's right. We are making cutbacks, and because of the failure of the 12-person Democratic-Republican committee to come up with major cuts, we're likely to see cuts on the defense side of almost $800 billion more than the $400 billion that they've already have to take initially. And according to Panetta and other officials in the Defense Department, these cuts could be catastrophic. So that's one major thing, that we may move in the direction of reduced capabilities. And then, as the article points out, that there are growing capabilities, perhaps nuclear in Iran, we know with North Korea, there are threats to the United States. And we see things going on in the Soviet Union with Putin coming back now as president. Putin is no friend of the United States. So I don't see any real problem immediately, but the threats exist. And we see these threats in the Middle East. They're not going away easily.
It's a very dangerous world, isn't it, General Wickham? And the Middle East still is the hot spot.
It's still a hot spot, and there's still a belief, endemic belief in this country that the Muslim threat is a very serious one. And I've heard this from political leaders, you have too, that what we've got to do is kill the Muslims before they kill us. I think that's misguided. Look at Indonesia, the largest Muslim nation in the world, very democratic, very oriented towards the West, very friendly. It's not, most Muslims are not like that. There are the fringe group of Muslims that we've got to worry about. And you're right, that kind of fundamentalist movement is a threat to us, and that's what we're seeing in the Taliban and with Al-Qaeda. That's pretty much on the run now.
Well, General Wickham, you are a blessing and a real treasure to the Southern Arizona community as to the nation, and I hope you're recovering well from a cataract surgery. How'd it go? Pretty well?
Oh, well, the jury's kind of out. Everybody's going to have cataract surgery eventually. And, so, yeah, it's coming along fine, and I do appreciate your best wishes, Bill, and I'm very proud to be on your wonderful program, listening to the advertisers, your supporters. You've got some quality people there, and you do a quality service for the people in Arizona.
Thank you, General Wickham. We certainly are trying every day to make this a terrific program and very informative. Have a wonderful holiday season. The best to you and your family.
Thank you, Bill. God bless.
Thank you. General John Wickham, always a pleasure. The man has fantastic insight and connections to what is going on in the military and, of course, with all foreign affairs. Terrific. The Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Tomorrow, the Friday Focus interview, Richard Miranda, the city manager for Tucson, will be with us. Of course, we'll have our reporters roundtable. Sarah Garrett Gasson will be here from the Arizona Daily Star, and Jimmy Bogle from the Tucson Weekly. So that will be Friday, tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show, noon to 1. And we will see you then on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.